Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Bex. Kev isn't here this week, but look what the cat dragged in.
Wow, that is rude. Look what we have here. It's old Kip Hakes off of the internet.
Old Kip Hakes. He's back on Parkcast after a ridiculously long absence, I've got to say.
Yeah, I've just been sat here just sobbing. Like going, Thursday at 10. Bex will definitely get in touch. She'll definitely get, oh no, okay, fine.
I'll it's been a busy listen. Time.
It has. I've had quite the experience.
I've been quite the globetrotter over the last couple of months. But you're here now, and that's what matters. And we have some breaking news to share at the end of this podcast, which
we do.
Quite frankly, is going to be the highlight of both of our careers. Yep. So we will get to that. Yeah. Just tease you all the way to the end there. This is why you can't come on every week, because it just descends into smut. For this week's episode, this is actually your idea and I liked it. So there's a first for everything. We thought we would talk about AI.
Yes.
Artificial intelligence, because there's not a lot of unartificial intelligence on this podcast. Yeah. So we're going to, we haven't quite resorted to AI here yet, but you never know. But mainly how it's affecting theme parks, and is it a good thing for theme parks or not? And what have we seen? And where could it take us to in the future?
Ooh. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
because obviously we know that the robots are taking over. I was house-sitting for a friend last week who has a car that parks itself. It parks itself and it gets itself out of spaces. That was enough for me. That sent me over the edge, just sitting in the passenger seat, watching the steering wheel doing its thing.
Yeah, that is creepy.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think, you know, there's no getting away from it. AI is here to stay. But can it be useful, or is it a bad thing, or is it a good thing? What would you like to start with? Would you like to start with the bad or the good?
Well, I think it's going to go in all directions, really. So basically, this sort of stemmed from last year when I saw an advert pop up for an Oktoberfest event at Pleasurewood Hills on my Facebook. And obviously, AI has moved on a lot, even in a year. But I looked at the picture and I was like, something's not right here. And I looked sort of even closer and it was just really clearly AI. I think there was like an old bloke with a beard and like a little girl in lederhosen. Sounds very specialist, but it was all very sort of nice and kind of soft focusing and everything. And that was like their main hero image that they had sort of advertising their Oktoberfest event. And it just, I don't know, it really, really jarred with me, because I'm quite good at spotting AI stuff, but there will be people who aren't. And back then, the problem with AI was if you sort of asked it to generate something different, it would do something wildly different. So I think part of the problem with like them using that image was they only had that one image, because if they went, oh, could you maybe make the little girl look a bit older or whatever, it would just completely strip and change the image. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they just had this one persistent thing. And it was at that point I thought, oh no, this is where we're heading. And we have rapidly descended into sort of just so much AI stuff being generated. And it's not just the small parks like Pleasurewood Hills.
We've definitely seen it at the Merlin parks, which we'll come on to that. It's like, let's be brutal here. You are a designer by trade. So this stuff actually like hurts you when you
see
AI. Because this is how you make your money. So if people are getting computers to generate it, then that's not ideal for you.
Yeah, but it's also not just me as a designer that's affected. It's sort of people, like it's like models who model for photos. That Pleasurewood Hills image sort of stripped the job from a photographer, a designer, a couple of actors, or you know, sort of models. And so it's so big. But then also you've got the kind of environmental impacts of like the cost of sort of on the environment of just generating that one image. it's quite scary. But yeah, I really struggle with it because I do like AI in some respects, because when I make thumbnails for my YouTube videos, for example, if I've made the shot a little bit too tight of me, I can use something called Generative Expand in Photoshop, and it sort of widens the shot a bit and it kind of fills in the missing details. And sometimes it's okay, sometimes it adds like scary children in the background and just like random stuff. Yeah, it did. I had a picture of me like doing my shocked YouTube thumbnail face, and I expanded it and it put like a child next to me who was all disfigured and like was screaming, and it was so weird. And I put it online because, like, to say, what the hell is this? And then someone told me off that I was mocking disfigured people. I wasn't. It was just this random AI child that appeared. So, yeah, I do use it and I do sort of appreciate it. But I think when it's actually kind of stripping people of jobs and just becoming complete brand identities, it's really, really worrying.
I think there's probably a question here for somewhere like Pleasurewood Hills, which, as we've heard recently, has been sold on. So clearly wasn't making the money it was intended to make for its previous owners. Do they have a choice? Because, like you say, it's a photographer, it's a model, it's an Oktoberfest event, which probably isn't going to generate them a huge amount of money. Can they afford to pay for all those things for essentially a poster? I mean, how would we have done it before AI? Surely you wouldn't have necessarily got a full model shoot. I guess there's like library images and stuff that they could have put together.
They could have maybe done that. I mean, I was once in a photo shoot for Appetizer, where it was for their Christmas campaign.
Showbiz.
I had to go to a studio in London, in like it was one of the hottest days of the year in July, and they were doing their Christmas shoot. And basically, it was like a load of us in Christmas jumpers, and like I had to carve I, my hands had to be in shot carving a turkey next to a bottle of Appetize. And yeah, so that's essentially what you'd have to do. You'd have to get a studio, get all the lighting set up, get all the props and things, and then obviously pay everyone. Or the PR person would ask you nicely because you owe them a favor. So, it's that kind of thing. But yeah, it does obviously save masses of money to smaller places. But I think my worry is because it's coming, like, it's not just the small places that are doing it, it's becoming the norm, and it will become the norm. And it's going to mean people lose their jobs ultimately, which is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, and talking of a not small place, we've got to mention that every time you come on this podcast, we talk about Merlin, and then you get a load of flack for just constantly slagging on Merlin. So apologies. But we do need to mention them because there's been a lot of look at their recent, I think the menu items are the big one. So if you go to Alton Towers, for example, and you go to one of the food outlets, the menus are now all AI designed. And it's weird. That's weird for me because they're essentially harming their brand in some ways because AI doesn't generate accurate images
No.
of their own rides.
No, exactly. And I think in some ways it's easier than ever now to generate images, like take images of like their rides. You can hover a drone up above a ride and get a really nice shot of it. And you can, we've got such good camera equipment. They've literally got the stuff there, but yet they're just tapping into ChatGPT, and it's really kind of weird because you sort of like have an Oblivion branded thing, and then you look at it and the picture of Oblivion's got like four rows. And it doesn't look like that, guys. And so yeah, it's really, really quite insane how quickly everything has changed. Because I went to Thorpe Park for the first time this season last week. And you get to the entrance at Thorpe Park, and they've just got this big AI generated sort of vista of Thorpe Park up there. And it's just kind of quite jarring. I mean, maybe it's just me being like massively oversensitive, and maybe it's just the coaster nerds being massively oversensitive that there's all these iconic rides and they're sort of up on this big sign, but they're just not quite right. And it's just weird. But that could just be our neurodiversity is getting a bit ticky with that one. I don't know.
We do notice when things aren't right. And this, I don't even think this was AI's fault when Alton Towers used the wrong nemesis on their images. I think that was actually a human being who did that. But if it's going to be, if it looks out of place, we are the ones who are going to notice it. But I think generally us humans now do tend to see if something's AI. I think the question is, do we care when we see it? And because AI is obviously, it improves every time it does something.
Yeah.
Is it going to get harder and harder and harder to tell if something is AI or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, because we've got Sora is a ChatGPT thing that's come out. It's an app on your phone, and you can basically give it a prompt and it'll create a very, very realistic video. So, like, you could probably, don't do this, you could probably make a very viral video of a well-known roller coaster crashing and just, like, throw it out there.
Yeah.
Because there's all this stuff floating around. You know, I saw a video of, like, a SpongeBob SquarePants being pulled over by the police that someone had generated. It was like a police body cam. And it just looked so real, despite the fact it was SpongeBob SquarePants speeding in a car. It just looked so incredibly real. And they do put, like, watermarks and things on it, but you can use AI to remove watermarks. So it is really scary times. And I think also we're going to see more and more content creators in our space using AI to edit images. I mean, loads of people use it to create their logos on social media.
Yeah.
You know, you can spot them all. So it's just going to slowly creep into every aspect of what we do. And I'm a little bit scared.
Yeah. And I think that the worry is you don't know how far it's going to go. And if everyone does continue to use it, and even big parks use it, if big parks use it, small parks will be like, well, it's fine then, because we'll like, if they're doing it, obviously it's not harming them. So you really do lose those skills in your team of graphic designers and animators and all of these people. And actually, I used to work for a big radio group, and obviously we had designers in our team, but considering the amount of radio stations that we had, you didn't need many designers to generate the amount of stuff that we needed, because if you've got a designer like on it for 8 hours a day, they can knock out quite a few bits of artwork, especially if it's stuff that is fairly similar. So you've got the same logos, the same thing. You're just changing this, changing that. So it's not actually, it doesn't cost them that much to just keep the designers on.
No.
And keep those people there.
But also, the thing is, if you're getting rid of designers, you're removing people who have a designer's eye for things, and you're giving it to, say, someone in marketing who might have a brilliant marketing design, but they don't spot the little things that people see. You know, I work in design so much, and my eye can see when things are slightly out of line and things, because people sort of do. If you look at something on a wall or anything like that, and something's slightly out of line, most people will notice it. They might not think, oh, that's out of line. They'll just think something is amiss. But a designer's job is to kind of keep everything in line, I guess. And so by kind of getting rid of the people that do that kind of thing, you're just creating a lot of subpar work, because, you know, I wouldn't let anyone like design a website for me, but you can go onto like Squarespace now and type in design this kind of website and it will do it automatically. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's just getting a bit too much for me, but it's not all bad.
It's not all bad. And that's the thing. So theme parks are obviously going to embrace AI where they can, and design is one way, but also there's got to be ways in which it can benefit us as guests.
Yeah, so I was, when I did the Chessington behind the scenes tour of Tomb Blaster, they actually told us that Vampire and Tomb Blaster at Chessington use AI and cameras in the queue line to work out how long the queue is to update the queue time system. And that is really good. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, queue times, if they're not, they can be vague at the best of times, and you know, you might have it'd be really great if you sort of saw a queue for 20 minutes and it took 20 minutes, but that's not always the case. And also, you know, it can adapt in real time to things that are happening. So if the ride's sort of not dispatching as quickly and the queue's not moving as quickly, it can automatically adjust very swiftly to change the queue boards to say it's going to take a bit longer. So that is really smart. I love that idea.
And they've always been notoriously inaccurate. And so sometimes we've been led to believe that the parks deliberately inflate or deflate queue times to get us in one place or
What?
another. And I guess maybe if it's AI, it might be a little bit more accurate, although I guess they could still tap into that and get it to do whatever you want it to do. I'm just wondering if there might be other ways that in future it could benefit us if AI could be used to almost map out your individual park day based on what you want to do, and then what the real-time conditions are on
Yeah, no,
the day.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, you know, obviously you could kind of almost tell like the theme park in questions app what kinds of rides you're interested in, and it could say, okay, well, you're a thrill seeker, so you'll want to go on these rides. And you could even sort of do it like before you get to the park. And it would just, and that could even feed into the data of what, like how busy the park will be. And the park will know ahead of time what you're going to be wanting to go on and could sort of send you in the right direction at the right time. Because I know lots of people I quite like a sort of, oh yeah, I'll just go for a leisurely wander round. But there would be lots of people who it might be their only trip there that year, you know, and so they want to get on all the rides they want to. And so something like that would be invaluable because it'd make sure that you sort of tick off everything and probably even in the most efficient use of your walking time as well. And so, yeah, it does definitely, that kind of thing, I think, could definitely really work out quite well. I mean, I am slightly worried that we've invented something here and Merlin are going to steal it from us. A copyright Kip and Bex 2025.
The itinerary, the itinerary planner. I also wonder though, with you saying that, if that would all almost help the parks, if you were saying, well, I'm going to be interested in this stuff, that might help them operationally to go, oh, okay, well, look, looks like Smile is going to be really busy tomorrow. Like, we'll stick a few extra trains. I'm sure it's that easy. And we need to get Francis Jackson on this. We need to,
Yeah,
because
that would be amazing.
would this help you operationally if you knew what guests were planning to do? There
Wait.
must be ways that would help operations.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, because I see people when they book their sort of big America trips. I've been to a few little theme parks in America, but I've never had like a big trip to Florida or Orlando, you know, all those kinds of places. And but I sort of see people planning them, and they just everything is so planned to the letter. You know, they've got their dining booked for everywhere and everything like that very much ahead of time. So it's not that people don't do it. So yeah, it could all feed in, and it could mean that you actually get a better day out from it. And so if a ride's having trouble, it could sort of divert you away from that and sort of say, oh, why don't you go over to this bit now? You know, you wanted to go on that one. So yeah, it definitely could help operationally. This is really, really good. We're really smart, aren't we?
I'm sure I was on a call once with a load of people who work in the industry, and I'm sure they mentioned using AI to really tailor the storytelling to you personally as well. So things in the park or animatronics or just experiences along the way, using AI to recognize you as a guest and interact with you in a really unique way that's special to you. And
Yeah,
I
no,
can
that.
definitely see that happening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because you could, like, in theory, alter a ride, like, say, for a dark ride, for example, you could alter the experience that someone gets. You could make it so it's a bit scarier for older people or a bit wound in a little bit for younger kids. So, yeah. But then obviously, we sort of start getting into the sort of point of people don't really like have their faces scanned and giving their data out.
Well,
And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if like the systems at Chessington for managing the queue times, what kind of data they hold, whether they just hold like a there is a person in a queue or there is a person with this face in a queue. I guess it's probably buried in some terms and conditions somewhere. But yeah, again, so it's sort of there's the never ending battle of trying to make people's lives easier, but keep privacy as well, which is important.
And who knows what they are doing? I would imagine it's just quite rudimentary, and it's like a
Well,
body
you
scanner of how many bodies have walked past the scanner. But I mean, I don't know. And I personally can't get that upset about if a park is videoing me in a theme park. I can't say I'm particularly bothered about it. Maybe that's just
No.
me. I'm sure some people would be a lot more protective over their identity than that. But I think sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do. If you need the experience at the end of it, and that's the way they need to do it, then that's fine, as long as you know. Because I
Yeah.
think that's the other worrying thing about AI, and this is something we all have to remember whenever we put ourselves online,
Oh,
is
God.
that these images are being harvested by these AI machines. I sound like I've got a tinfoil hat now.
No,
But
but it's very true.
yeah.
You know, if you I've seen there was like a trend of people getting their children to hug dead relatives. So you'd feed in a picture of a dead relative, you'd feed in a picture of your child, and it'd make a cute video of them hugging each other. And then you just think we've just literally fed your child into the machine, so to speak. And I mean, most people have photos and things of their kids online, and probably by having your pictures on Facebook, you're agreeing them to feed Meta's algorithms and stuff like that. But when you're sort of literally handing it into the machine, who knows what's going to happen with it? And that is one of my sort of scary thoughts about it all. You know, obviously your dead relative doesn't need to consent because they're dead, but that's a bit morally wrong. But then when you're feeding like a image of a young child into a machine that can create your young child in any situation, yikes.
It's definitely something to really, really strongly consider. And I'm quite fussy about what images I'll put online. And I don't you'll if you've noticed on my feeds, I don't actually share my daughter on them at all. But
No.
that's an individual call for every person who makes content, I suppose, online. But yeah, it's definitely something to consider and be aware of.
Yeah.
So without trying to get too depressed, the robots are coming. Hopefully for the better, not for the worse. I have to say, it's not just images as well. As someone who has used their voice for a lot of their career, AI voices is also a massive thing. I mean, God, I'm constantly getting fed job adverts to like record scripts for AI to be able to, learn voices and learn the intonation and and accents and things like that. And that kind of stuff will be generated as well. So I'd love to see where this is going to go. Unfortunately, we can't predict the future. We can only discuss what we're seeing so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's even sort of consumer grade stuff now because I use an app on my phone called Captions for generating like the subtitles on my content, and that has got AI stuff in it now. And so what you can do is you can f take pictures of yourself and give it a script, and it will read the script in your voice
Oh, no way.
and do it, and then you can do it in different languages as well.
Have you tried it?
I made a short of it ages ago when it first came out because it's really quite scary how little information it needed. And it actually produced a sort of relatively good version of me, just with a few prompts and me saying a few things and moving my mouth a bit. It was mental. And that is just an app on your phone. You have to pay like, I think it's like £15 a month to switch on that feature. So, you know, it's not like super cheap, but it's not really expensive. So yeah, you don't literally even need to say anything. You can type your words in and it will say your words as you.
Did it sound like you as well?
Yeah, I'll have to send you. It is really
Oh.
mental. And yeah, I think I got it talk me talking in like German and Japanese or something. And people actually, I sort of shared it and I said, well, do people who speak these languages, is it making sense? Because I've got no clue. And apparently, yeah, it was doing a pretty good run at it.
No.
So That is mental, and it's all within one app.
Yeah.
But again, I actually that is something I worry about as content creators as well, because we put so much of us and our mannerisms, our faces, and our voices out there. The Sora image generation and video generation app could make a vlog of Sean from Theme Park Worldwide, because all the data's there, and it could make a fun vlog of him doing something fun at a theme park, or it could be made to look something terrible. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's all that stuff that's kind of out there.
Well, before we fully depress ourselves, look, the takeaway is, I think, Merlin, please stop using AI to do your menu boards because they look terrible.
It really does look terrible, and I think it's just, I know they're trying to save money, but I don't know. I
They're
don't
saving
know.
money, and they're saving money. Like,
Yeah.
it really confuses me for a brand that is so protective about their brand,
Oh,
and
yeah.
they are massive, and as they should be, as anyone should be with their brand, whether that's a theme park or you as a content creator who's got a little channel, you should always be really protective about it. But that they let stuff that looks similar to their stuff but not similar enough
Yeah.
go on our way. That just blows my mind that someone's like, yeah, that's fine. Having been in situations in marketing departments where I see the levels that have to be gone through to get stuff signed off, I'm amazed that a marketing director goes, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Or a brand manager or whoever. But we are where we are. I mean, there's one thing to say for it, it's that they don't have to try and make the food look good because they
Yes.
just get AI to do it for them. Look, I'm going to Scarefest next week. I've seen there's some food specials. I'm taking one for the team. I am going to
Okay.
try them.
Yeah,
So I'll report back.
yeah, it's sort of like you need that kind of this is me before eating this, or this is me after eating this, and also taking a picture of it and comparing it to the probably
The AI
AI
bit.
generated.
I should do that. Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, I'm minorly disappointed in that I'm staying at Splash Landings, and I would normally go to Flambeau Chambo's, obviously, which, as we all
It's the
know,
law.
isn't the greatest buffet in the world, but it is what it is. But it's closed on the first night that I'm there, so I'm having to go
No.
to the Secret Garden, which I swore to myself I would never go into again, having had so many
Why?
disappointing, because it's
Oh, okay.
terrible. So many disappointing experiences at that restaurant. Some people have told me it's improved.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think the problem with the Secret Garden is it's very dated. I mean, I remember when I sort of went in it when the hotel had just opened, and it was like this sort of really magical feeling place. And now you kind of look around, and like the bits of tree, you can see like the screws where they're to like hold it up. And yeah, it's definitely lost its charm, I think.
It's a bit like being in a garden centre cafe. I always
Yes.
find it's got those
Yeah,
vibes.
it does.
But do you know what? I always enjoy Skeffers, and I know you've made a pledge not to go to Alton Towers this year,
Yeah.
which you have faithfully stuck to.
I have, and it's been really hard. Really, really hard. It's made me sad at times.
Has it?
Because it's like my happy place. It is, I love it there so much, and it makes me so happy. And to sort of not go there and see like all of my friends go there, it's just like, oh, okay. But no, I'm not gonna say it. No, I'm not gonna swear. But no, I'm not going, and I don't even know if I'm going to go back there next year yet. We'll see what happens.
Well, I am going. There's something about Scarefest that always draws me in, and I don't do the scare mazes, but I do just love the atmosphere. I love being in the theme park until 9 o'clock at night, taking that little dark walk back through the Galactica gates back to the hotel. Why is that
Yeah.
funny?
No, it's just like I like walking around in
I
the
do though. You know how everyone's like, oh yes, summer nights, I love a light summer night. I love a cozy dark autumnal winter night.
And all the mood lighting and everything. Yeah, no, I
Yeah.
get it. I absolutely get it. And that is something that Alton Towers always do very well. It is the lighting design, it always looks good. So, yeah. But, yeah.
Well, I will let you know how I get on at Scarefest. Before you go, breaking news and talking about AI generated voices. Thankfully, it's not come to that. But do you remember this?
If there's any sort of vocally stuff in it, can me and Bex have like a line or something? They're completely unprofessional here.
If required, then yes, I will.
That's a good
amazing.
Shout.
There
That's
we go.
Great,
it's gonna be a strict instrumental now.
I could go like we're spinning round. We're spinning round.
That's
ooh, spinny. Yeah.
Right, you said you didn't have it fleshed out. We just fleshed it out.
Yeah. So I'm going for creeping or something.
Ooh, spinny. Yeah.
And then my only production note would be, can you do it like the old Hugh Dennis, like the milky? Like,
oh, yeah, milky. Yeah. Spinny. Yeah.
How could we forget? Spinny. Now, I'm sorry to say that Glenn hasn't been in touch to offer you the part of Evictus in Evictus the Ride.
He will. Come on, Glenn.
But I did get an email from Ben, who is a listener to the podcast, and he also works for an events company, and he does technical AV stuff. And he is working on a project.
This is so stupid, but
he's working on a project and he needs two talking Christmas trees.
Hello.
And he heard your audition. And believe it or not, thinks that we're the perfect people for the job.
Yeah, he heard me and went, that is a talking Christmas tree if ever I've seen one.
Well, he did say he needs a slightly whimsical and slightly camp Christmas tree.
Yeah, but that was the lady voice. I'm doing the bloke voice, and that's kind of disappointing. I wanted to be whimsical and camp.
Well,
it's like literally me. Look, he says with his arms on his hips
and your pink stripy jumper. I'm sure there's room for some artistic license.
Yeah,
we'll
send
yes.
some notes.
We took some liberties and we re-recorded this. So we haven't recorded it yet, but we will do. And once it's all done and approved, because we could be binned off at any point from this
project.
Yeah,
not recorded it yet. We could be, yeah.
Then of course, we'll let you know where you can, if you so choose, go visit the Talking Christmas Trees, voiced by us.
Yeah, I'm really kind of struggling, like, what kind of voice to do for a tree. I have been practicing.
Have
they
you?
All sound, yeah, because there's lots of, if there's the script has a lot of tree puns in it. So it's sort of like, oh, this is tremendous, you know, that kind of thing.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Slightly high.
Slightly high and slightly overexcitable for the children. But but they always turn quite northern. I actually end up sounding like my ex-mother-in-law. Oh, you come to look at a Christmas tree, have you? Oh, I'm a magical Christmas tree, me. Sorry, Lynn.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to compete with that. I feel like we should swap and I should be like the slightly more serious one.
Go on. Okay, right. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Bex. I want you to do a slightly serious male Christmas tree for me. Come on.
No, because I know I can't get Northern out of my head. Oh, tremendous. See, it's Northern. Now I've gone Northern.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Oh, that's quite good, that. That's quite good. I like that.
All right, then. I'll take this part. You take the other part.
Oh, my God. And all the viewers in the North have switched off and gave us a one-star review.
Well, look, it's something to look forward to. It's a bit of festive fun, and it will be coming your way soon, we hope. And look, the door is still open.
Yeah.
If Glenn wants to give you a star.
Glenn's
going
to be banging my door down when he gets to the deadline. Yeah, exactly.
He is also very northern, so
he might
greatly offended him.
Yeah.
You never know. If not Evictus, something else in the future.
Exactly. I could be a hot ice voice or something.
I thought you were going to say dancer then.
Skatey.
Oh dear. Amanda Thompson's just literally collapsed in a heap. Yeah. Well, look, and available for any projects, should exactly. you wish, just get in touch via the usual channels and we'll be happy to assist. It's been lovely chatting to you.
It has. It's been really wonderful.
It always goes off on a tangent whenever you're on this podcast. Yeah. But that's why we love it. I am going to right now message Francis Jackson and see if he'd like to come on and talk about how AI could assist yes, in the world of theme park yes. operations.
Yeah, and I loved chatting to Francis as well.
Yeah. If you've not heard that episode, absolutely go back and listen to it, because he basically explains everything as to why rides have downtime, rides are running one train and not two, why we get frustrated. He explains it all. So it's a very, very useful episode if you are a theme park fan. So yeah, go and check that out. And I'll see you back here soon. We'll get you back on. We'll talk about something.
If Francis is here, I want to be here.
You will be here. Yeah.
Good.
If you have enjoyed today's very random episode, please subscribe if you haven't already. And that way you'll never miss another one, which is great news. And you can also leave us a review if you fancy as well. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.